Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for these people that have come here tonight, Lord. You've told me many times, Father, that Thursday night people are special to you because they're hungry, Lord. They're willing to come out on a Thursday night in America where there's 1,001 things they could be doing. But, Lord, they're here because they're hungry and they're thirsty for the living God. Now, Father, your word says that those that seek you, you are a rewarder of them. Father, I'm asking you right now to reward every person here and every person that hears the sound of my voice by tape with more of your mind, more of your love, more of your heart. Lord, just give them more of you. I pray that the understanding of the very heart of God come into them, that the eyes of their understanding be enlightened, that they know the hope of their calling, Father, and the riches of the inheritance of the saints in light. Father, I give you praise for this. Lord, I thank you for the anointing that's already on your word. Lord, I thank you for anointing my speech, that you make my tongue as the pen of a ready writer. Anoint the ears of the people with ear salve, that they may hear and understand the mysteries of God. Father, I thank you for your Holy Spirit that is here among us now. You said where we are gathered, two or more gathered in his name, that he would be here with us, Lord. And I thank you right now. Anything he wants to do, that's just exactly what we want to do. For all of these things, Lord, we give you praise in Jesus' name. And all the people again said, Amen. Hallelujah. For anyone that might not know, about 3-4 weeks ago, as I was getting ready for the Bible study, the Lord said, don't teach tonight. Don't make any notes. He said, don't even take your Bible in there. He says, I just want to talk to my people tonight. And the end result was a prophecy that went on for about an hour and 20 minutes. And I'm sure you have one.
Yeah, I've got an extra one, actually.
Do you? Okay. And so anyone that doesn't have one, we got a couple of extra tapes here. And whether you've realized it or not, what I've been doing, I've been asking the Lord each week. Because, see, I've been walking this way for a while. I know if the Lord comes and takes a whole service like that and talks to us for an hour and 20 minutes, it's because it's important. And most people don't really understand prophecy. Most people think that when they get a prophecy, that no matter what, that's going to come to pass. Prophecies are just exactly like the Word of God. How many knows the Word of God is full of promises? How many knows God said to Israel, I have given you the land? How many know that they had to possess the land by warfare? Okay? The ones that did not never lived on one square inch of it. They perished in the wilderness. Well, when the Lord comes with a prophecy like this, he's very serious. He means it. And he absolutely intends for us to walk in the light of it and have every blessing in it. And be sure and get you one before you leave tonight. You know, they're free. I also have it typed if anyone wants a printed copy. And so what I've been doing, I've been seeking the Lord about, you know, Sue and I have been walking this way a long time. We know if the Lord gives us a prophecy, boy, we go over that thing, we outline it, we take it apart, we put it back together, see how we can apply our lives to it, because we want to possess anything that the Lord says to us. So I've been seeking his mind every week on different aspects of this. Like the very following week, if you were going to sum that whole prophecy up in one sentence, it would be, spend time with me. Isn't that right? He told a lot of reasons why, but the end result was, spend time with me. What was the very next week? Redeeming the time. I taught on ways that you can rearrange your schedule in order to spend more time with him. And then each week, it has been a segment like that. Well, when I was in prayer today, let me get this portion of the prophecy. The part that stood out to me today was this, and I'll just read this one segment from page 2. He says, let all judgment of your brethren cease tonight, even those that you would classify completely wrong according to their doctrine. Be careful, now get this, be careful what you speak of those who have my blood on the doorposts of their heart. Wow! Those that divide and those that cause division among my brethren will not escape. They will not escape. This was before Christmas. Before you gather again in this place, by the time you gather again in this place, you will have celebrated the event of my birth in the earth. Understand, you're not celebrating the date, you are celebrating the event. The world cares not. The world cares not that the Savior was born. The world cares not that the Savior died. But I care for the world, says the Lord. It is for them, it is for them that I came. If you will seek my face and spend time with my spirit, there we go again, spend time with my spirit, I will put my love for them in you. And it cannot be acquired any other way. And this is the sentence that just really grabbed me today. The love of God cannot be obtained but from God. Can't get it anyplace else. You really can't get it by coming to Thursday night Bible study. You can't get it by going to church, although you should do all of these things. You can only get the love of God from God. How many knows the Bible says God is love? Okay? So if you notice, the title of tonight's lesson is, well, if we're going to possess that, how many of you would like to have more of the love of God in you? You know? Well, how to possess it. That's the thing we need to know, see? Okay? So the title of tonight's lesson is Obtaining the Love of God. And I'm just going to read here for a while at least. It says, the content of this lesson is not to teach you that the Father loves you. Most of the people who get these lessons already are already born again. I mean, you already, everyone in this room, I know you, everyone in here is born again. You know that the Father loved you so much that He sent His only begotten Son to suffer the penalty of death for you in order that you may have eternal life. I mean, y'all look at Sean. Can y'all believe God loves Sean enough? Sean!
It's hard.
I mean, I know it's hard, but imagine, God the Father loves Sean so much that He sent Jesus to the cross just because He wanted Sean to be able to fellowship around the throne of God forever. Isn't that wonderful? Even though sometimes Sean's been a bad boy, is that what you said? Oh, I'm sorry.
He had a bad week.
Oh, hallelujah. Well, that's not from your father. Hallelujah. See, the subject of this lesson tonight is, how do you obtain the same love for other people that the Father has? Most of us, and I'm saying us, most of us have the attitude of, Father, I love you. It's these people that I'm having trouble with. You know, can I get a witness? You know, I love you, Father Jesus. I love you. I love you. You know, Lord, these people. Okay. Okay. Now, in that prophecy, like I read a while ago, he said the love of God, that kind of love for people, it cannot be obtained but from God. Now, if you brought your Bibles, go ahead and open it up to John chapter 5. And we're going to read it's kind of a lengthy thing here. And I know most of you probably know it, but I think it's just good to hear it again. John chapter 5. We're going to see, Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Jesus is the will of God in action, right? One of my all-time favorite tapes, y'all know I like my own tapes. And the reason I like them, it's the word. I like the message. God can get any messenger, but it's the message that counts. You know, one of my all-time favorites that was taught here is, what is God like? Remember that? Because on that tape, the Lord said, you know, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Okay, well, all those after I got to meditating and studying that out and see what Jesus really did through the Gospels, then I knew all those preachers that told me that God would put cancer on you to teach you something, I knew they were all liars. Now, they were sincere. I don't get me wrong. I don't mean that they were intending to deceive me. But what they were telling me was a lie. God's not like that because Jesus never did that. You understand? You know? All those people that said, well, God wrecked my business and broke my car and did this and did that to humble me. Can you, in your wildest imagination, picture Jesus doing anything like that? He was always giving to the poor. He was always giving to the poor. That night, even the night when Judas left, the last night at the Last Supper, and left, he was really going to betray Jesus. But see, he was the treasurer, and what did the rest of them think? Well, he's going to give money to the poor. Now, why would they think that? Because it was such a common practice. It was such a common practice. Jesus was always given to the poor. Anyway, we're going to see the love of the Father here through Jesus. By seeing Jesus, we can see the Father. John chapter 5, we'll start in verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool, and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Now get this. Whenever the Bible says a certain man, this is not a parable. This really happened. This was a certain man, a real person. A certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. 38 years. The man's been sick. Last time I was sick for about a week. And I had all of it I wanted. 38 years? Are you kidding? 19? You're 19 years old? The man's had the disease 38 years. Man, you know, almost twice as long. Well, I guess twice as long as you've been alive. That's a long time. Everyone, is that a long time to be sick?
No.
Long time. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? And the impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And now get this. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Now let me ask you a question. Do you think Jesus knew that was the Sabbath day?
No.
You think he just misread his calendar that morning and didn't realize that today was the Sabbath? Now he knew. He knew it was the Sabbath. Now, I better read a little further. The Jews, therefore, now when it says the Jews, it's talking about the religious folks. The Jews, therefore, said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. Well, it's not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. And he answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. Boy, there's a message right there, but that's not tonight's. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus, now get this, and sought to slay him. Y'all know what slay means? They wanted to kill him. Religious folks. Why? Because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. That's enough for right now out of there. Let's go back to the lesson for a minute. And right after that first bolded stuff, the love of God cannot be obtained but from God. In John 5, 1 through 9, we are told that Jesus healed a man who had been sick for 38 years on the Sabbath day. The religious leaders were furious about this because Jesus did not follow their rules. In fact, they wanted to kill Jesus because of it. And I gave you the reference. Now notice. Now get this. They did not care at all about the man that was healed. Can you see that? God the Father's love for this man was just simply not in them. They would have been content for the man to remain sick for another 38 years, or until the end of his life, just so long as everybody adheres to their religious doctrine. That's all they cared about.
A lot of denominations are like
just that. Like that. They will, a lot of denominations, they might come to a service like this, and if the gifts of the Spirit were moving tonight, and they got healed here, miraculously, just by the gifts of healing being in operation that night, and go home, go back to their home church to rejoice. Maybe they've been in a wheelchair. I mean, we'd have persecution here probably before the week was out. Religion doesn't like it. It messes up their little nice little neat apple cart where they can have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. Don't get me on that now. Had all of that I want. Don't want any more of it. Hallelujah. Jesus actually went. Now, see, that's a long passage. I want you to know that these very people that came against him, he went to great lengths. If I was going to read that whole thing, it just continues and continues. He was trying to help even these religious leaders. He was trying to explain to them. And I just don't have time to go through it all. He went to great lengths to try and explain to these religious guys how far away from the heart and mind of God the Father they were. But I'm going to examine only a few of the verses where he distinctly tells them the things that are not in them. Now, by the way, how did you get this, Brother Gary? I was praying in those other tongues today, talking with the Holy Ghost. And he says, search everything Jesus said to these people that was not in them. I had never heard anything like that. I've got a nice computer program on my Bible that'll let me do that. I can put it, you know, not in them or not in you. And it'll search them for me. So that's what I did. And look at this. I have never seen this. I've never heard this message before. The Holy Ghost is a good teacher, you know. In John 5:38, he told them, speaking of the Father, he says, you have not His, the Father's, word abiding in you. John 5:42, he says, but I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. Well, we just found that out, didn't we? John 6:53, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except or unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. So now they have no word, they have no love, they have no life in them. And He says, I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. Now let's back up for just a minute. That first one, John 5:38, this is important to notice because later on, something else Jesus said, I'll refer back to this. When He says, you have not His, speaking of the Father's word, that the Greek word there is logos. How many of y'all know John starts off his gospel saying, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. Every one of those is, in the beginning was the logos. The logos was with God. And the logos was God. And the logos was manifested, you know, and walked among men. The very person talking to them is the Word of God. He's the one that the Father's been promising for centuries and centuries and centuries. Obviously, they didn't have the Word of the Father in Him. They didn't recognize the Word when He was standing right in front of them. They certainly did not have the Word of the Father in them. So they did not recognize the Word when He showed up. Jesus is all of the promises manifested in human form. And they didn't recognize Him. It's interesting He said logos. Okay, isn't that cool? No wonder they didn't have the Word in them. Here He's standing right there. And you know, it's like a lot of people I know. They wouldn't know the Holy Ghost if you walked through that door right now and had a red top hat on that said Holy Ghost on it. They'd be going, who's that? Yeah, who's that guy? I mean, it could say Holy Ghost right on it, and they'd still go, wonder who that is. You know, anyway. Now, notice the progression in those four verses. First, you must receive the Father's Word as being truth. And see, that's right there is where the religious leaders were missing it. There is the Word standing right there, and they're rejecting everything He's doing. Okay? The Father's Word, Logos, is Jesus. Unless you receive Jesus as the manna from heaven and have His very life represented by the blood, that's why He said that in you, you will never have the same Zoe, that's the Greek word for life, this God kind of life flowing in you. This is just a different way of saying you must be born again. Okay? Only after being born again will you begin receiving the Word of Jesus, the second man, the last Adam, as being ultimate truth. And you can take everything that He taught and sum it up with this one verse here. John, and it's in the same gospel, John 13, verses 34 and 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Did those guys have any love for the guy that was healed? 38 years. I dare say we don't really have that problem too much here at the Bible study. If there was a cripple come in that in a wheelchair that had been in that wheelchair for 38 years and got healed, I think we'd have some rejoicing here. Okay? But how many of y'all know the whole church is not like this? Amen? Hallelujah. Now, here's another example. Yeah, everyone knows the story of the prodigal son. Do I need to read the story of the prodigal son? Kelly, you've been going to Sunday school a long time, right? You know the prodigal son. All right. When the Father God threw a party because the prodigal son, who represents the lost, came home, the elder brother, and see, he represents religious people, got mad. He thought the father should have been angry with the younger son. Did you remember? He wouldn't even call him his brother. This thy son. He wouldn't even call him his brother anymore. You know? Now, why did the elder brother feel that way? Since I already gave you the answer. Well, because the love of the father for the... That's true. Because the love of the father for the prodigal was not in him. Excuse me. Well, you're right. He was judging him. He was passing judgment. That no good pig slopping, running around with harlots guy, you know? And, you know, he felt like the father should have punished him and been mad at him and angry with him, see? And why did he feel that way? Well, he didn't have the love of the father in him. He didn't know. Now, here's what's sad about that. He didn't know his father's heart at all. He didn't know how the father felt. He did not have a clue that the father loved the prodigal son like that. He didn't have a clue. Now, here's the point. Why didn't he know? How could he not know? Huh? He never went in the house and spent time with the father. In fact, I have that written right here. Because he never spent any quality time alone with his father. His entire relationship with the father was one of works and not fellowship. Kelly, you remember him saying, I have never transgressed thy commandment at any time. I have worked for thee faithfully all these years. His whole relationship with the father was based on his work. So he's out in the fields, the father's in the house, and the two never meet. You know, he's just busy doing whatever, all of this stuff, you know. Busy trying to lead his righteous little life. Never goes in, never spends any time with the father. He doesn't have a clue that the father is in there with his heart just breaking over the son. See, once you're a parent, Tara knows now, don't you? You'll know better later. Oh, it doesn't matter what they do. You just can't. I've not always been totally pleased with Angie or Aaron or Amanda. I mean, there's been things. What I mean by that, they've done things that made me mad. But there's nothing they can do to take away my love for them. It just can't be done. You can't take away my love for them. You could dissect me. You could cut me up in 1,000 little pieces. You could cut me up. You know, you could torture me and cut me up in 1,000 little pieces, and I'll still love them, no matter what. You know, I won't be. May not be pleased with them. I had to give them some spankings. May have to yet. I don't care how old they are. No. But it sure can't take away my love for them. See, and that's the way the father was towards this prodigal. It's his son, and he's lost. He's out there. God doesn't like it when you're out of money and you're slopping the hogs. And so what? It's your fault. Was it the prodigal's fault? Yeah, it was the prodigal's fault completely. But what did the father want? Come home, son. Come home, son. Man, we got ribs, barbecued ribs here waiting on you. We got a ring to put on your finger. We got a robe to put on you. We're going to throw a party. And see, the elder son, the religious one, who didn't know the father, he didn't have a clue how the father felt about this son. Getting back to the lesson. I haven't been picking on you too much, have I? Okay. His entire relationship with the father was one of works, not fellowship. Had the elder brother come in the house and spent time fellowshipping with his father, it wouldn't have taken very long for him to find out how brokenhearted the father was over the loss of his son. I mean, can you see them sitting around a table like this? This elder son who's out there cultivating fields and doing whatever he was doing for his father. I mean, in his mind at least, he was working for the father. But see, just come in one day and say, Father, can we just sit down and have a cup of coffee, whatever they had there, you know, have a cup of coffee and some Rice Krispie cakes and just talk for a while? It wouldn't have been very long. Do you think it had been very long before the father, the subject of the prodigal, would have come up? One or the other would have mentioned it. And it wouldn't have been very long into that before that the elder brother would have found out. I didn't know you felt that way. I didn't. I, I, I didn't have a clue that you felt that way about the prodigal son. You know? In fact, if he'd have spent very much time with him, in fact, before very long, he would have been willing to have left his father's house to go searching for the prodigal to see if there was any way to restore him back to the father. Now, get this. Most people miss the whole story. Jesus was trying to tell these Pharisees, these religious people who cared not for the sheep, he was trying to tell them, Jesus was telling them that was exactly what he had come to do. He had left heaven, his father's house, for the express purpose of seeking and saving the lost so they could restore it back to the father. Why? The father loved the people. That love was in Jesus. And he was about his father's business, trying to find them, save them, rescue them, get as many as he could back to the father. And the Pharisees could have cared less. See, if you really want to study the prodigal son, you have to back up further than most people do. You have to back all the way up to Luke 15:1. Because there it says Jesus was... In fact, let's just look at it. I didn't really have that plan, but we're going to have time. Luke 15:1. See, the story of the prodigal son starts in verse 11. But most people don't take it in context and back up far enough. What brought this whole teaching on was this. Then drew near unto him, speaking of Jesus, all the publicans and the sinners. You could say all the prodigals. For to hear him. See? All of these sinners, these publicans, man, these hog-slopping, harlot-chasing folks. And the Pharisees, there you go, the Pharisees and the scribes, the religious folks, murmured, saying, well, this man receiveth sinners. Can't you just hear them? And eats with them. I mean, it was bad enough. It was bad enough that he would even associate with them, but then eat with them. Oh, my God. Oh, you know, we're just totally upsetting our little religious apple cart. And see, the whole point, in fact, he gives the prodigal son as one, in fact, he gives several. He gives the whole, everything from here on, the lost sheep, the lost coin, the prodigal son, the unjust steward, and the rich man and Lazarus, clear on all the way through Luke 17 and verse 10. That whole thing is trying to teach them the difference between religion and the love of God. Religion is all about form and rules and do this and do that. And the love of God is people. God, relationship. And it's all based on relationship. If you don't know God, you'll never get it. Your whole life will be a form of godliness without the power thereof. Because it's... Well, in fact, the last verse on this, we're going to get to later, the very last quote I have is that faith worketh by love. How many of y'all like to operate by faith? The just shall live by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. We could go on and on and on. But in Galatians 5:16, I believe it is, it says, faith which worketh by love. And that word love is agape, the God kind of love. Sean, if your faith works by love, you think it's... And you want to live by faith? You want to be one of those great faith people? You think you need to have some of this love in you? Okay? All right? That's what tonight's lesson is about. How do you get it? For additional tapes by Gary Carpenter, you can... No. Okay. Now, let me back up here. Okay, I read that one. Are you having trouble loving unlovable people?
Yes.
How many can I get a witness on here for benefit of the tape? Everyone except Erin, and she's lying. We'll have an altar call for liars later. Well, welcome to the club, okay? You know, quit going around thinking that you're all full of condemnation and everything because I just can't love that person. What they said to me, what they did to me, I mean, I just can't. You just don't know what they said to me. I mean, you expect me... No reading ahead. See, she's just getting all kinds of trouble. Okay. Well, welcome to the club. Hey, we all begin like that. The only cure for the natural human attitude, which is like the elder brother, by the way, is spending time with the Father. But now, just exactly, how do you do that? Action page 2. Now, Aaron. Now, see, if you've been born again, you have already eliminated most of the problems that the religious leaders of that day had. You know that list of a while ago of all the stuff that's not in you? When he was telling them, you don't have His Word in you, you don't have His love in you, you don't have His life in you, and you don't have My Word in you. Remember that whole list? Well, see, if you're born again, Spirit-filled, you've already passed most of those problems. You have received the Word, which is the Logos, which is Jesus. The whole Word of God, really, is God the Father's testimony of His Son Jesus. It's His promise. And that's the Logos. And you have received Him, see? So you've passed that one. You've got the Logos in you. You have received the manna from heaven and the blood of Jesus. It's been applied to the doorposts of your heart. Amen? Okay? You've been born again. You've received a new nature that has the, quote, now get this, potential of loving like the Father does. Now, there's a big difference between having the potential to do something. You know, a dam, a reservoir that's freshly built. You know, they make like, when they built a Hoover Dam, you know, they built this big concrete structure and everything. And in there are these big turbines, you know, that when the water flows through, it turns the turbines, which makes electricity and all of that. But when they first built that thing, there's no water behind it. Now, it's got potential, doesn't it? The potential is there for this thing to produce electricity. But until that thing gets full of water, and even beyond that, until they open the gates and let that water start going through, there's no power. That's the way most Christians are. It's a good picture of how most Christians are. Hallelujah. Okay. So we have that potential of living like the Father. The only thing lacking with most Christians, and I'm talking about Spirit-filled Christians, I'm talking about church-going Christians, I'm talking about Thursday night Bible study type Christians, the problem still lacking with most of them, yours truly included. I'm preaching to, see, he's preaching to himself now. Okay, don't say it. Okay. The only thing lacking is the time with the Father part. Well, how do we do it? Now, in the same Gospel of John, we're not skipping all over everywhere, in the same Gospel, when Jesus was speaking to believers, He gave a completely different list of things that will be in you. And He was telling them these will be in you because they weren't born again yet. To you tonight that's born again, He would say these things are in you. Okay? John 14:7. Hallelujah. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and shall be, what? In you. See, the Spirit of truth is in me. Hallelujah. John 14:20. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Okay, let's work that one backwards. Everyone say, Jesus is in me.
Jesus is in me.
He's in the Father.
He's in the Father.
So the Father is in me.
So the Father is in me.
Now wait a minute, I thought God was in heaven, Kelly. God the Father in heaven and Jesus seated at His right hand. But yet this says He's going to be in you. That He's in you. God the Father and Jesus. Now how can they be in heaven and in you? By His Spirit. That's the whole thing. In Ezekiel 36, He says, I will put a new spirit in you. That's the new birth. And, He says, I will put My Spirit within you. Hallelujah. Is she getting sleepy? Hallelujah. So everyone say, Jesus is in me.
Jesus is in me.
And the Father is in me.
And the Father is in me.
And the Holy Spirit is in me.
And the Holy Spirit is in me.
Okay? Now Jesus said, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. And really this goes on to the next one. Now get this. If you abide in me, and my words, now notice, this time he uses rhema, not logos. When he said, when he was talking about the Father's word, he used logos, representing the Father's testimony of Jesus himself. But now he's saying, now when I come in you, my words are going to be rhema. Rhema. We'll talk about that in a minute. If you abide in myrrh, if you abide in me, and my words, rhema, abide in you. Now get this. Sometimes, don't you think Jesus just talks a little bit crazy sometimes?
Gary talks a bit crazy.
Hallelujah. Pray for me. Hallelujah. Pray for me. Tammy,
yes.
Jesus says, if you can do this, if you can abide in Him, and His words, rhema, abide in you. Now get this, Tammy. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, we hear statements like that, and we just keep reading. Think about what he said there. If you abide in me, Tammy, and I can pick on Gabriel, if you abide in me, Jesus says, Gabriel, if you could abide in me, and my rhema means not just the logos, the spoken, or the logos means the like the entire counsel of God. When you the word, this, what, this Bible that I'm holding, this is called the Logos. This is the entire Word of God. Jesus is the entire Word of God made flesh. Rhema is more like when Jesus came to me in the cab of my truck that day when I was praying, and He says, this is your last trip. You've been praying to me. Now I want you to go full time. When you get in from this trip, resign your job. And I want you to go into ministry full time. Now that's a rhema word from the Lord. You can't find that chapter and verse in the Bible. That's the living God, the living Christ, coming and talking to me, a living human being. Hallelujah. But he says, if you can abide in me, and my words, my rhema, I like to put it this way, my right now word to you, my right now word to you, abides in you. Now, you can ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Now see, I try and simplify that. I'm doing pretty good on time here. So maybe you go, yeah, right. You know, cast that coma devil out of her. Hallelujah. All right. I look at it this way. I was talking with a man earlier this week, and I used this example. Let's say he was an employee of Texaco, and Texaco wanted to increase their market share in Brazil. So they hired Tony here. Said, Tony, we want you to be our marketing representative in Brazil. We don't have much share of the market down there. These other companies are selling a lot more gasoline than we are. So we're going to commission you to go down to Brazil. I want you to do a survey, see what's going on, see what we need to do down there to increase our market share. So Tony goes, he flies down there. He checks the whole situation out, sees what kind of cars the people drive, what octane do they need, all, you know, what customs, I mean, what language do they speak? I mean, it's nice to have the, you know, a language in your store that people can read, you know. And he does all of this, and he makes up a marketing proposal, and he sends back to Texaco, and he says, here's what we need to do. And in order to do that, you know, to increase the share down here, I'm going to need 5 employees, and I'm going to need an office space, and I need a telephone system, and I need a couple of computers, and I need some paper to print materials on, and we need an advertising budget. And he'd have a whole list of things that he needed, right, to get the job done. Well, now, if Texaco is not crazy, you know, now here's what, you know, they're going to send you what you need to get the job done, if they trust you at all, if they think you know that you know what you're talking about, they're going to send you the stuff you need. That's what Jesus is talking about here. He says, if you'll abide in me, and then what you'll start doing what I tell you, the assignment that I give you, you can ask me for whatever you need, and it'll be done for you. That's why when I need something to do this Bible study, I don't have any qualms at all about asking God for another computer. He's already given me 2. You know? Now, I don't need 12. Yet. But, you know, right now, I don't need 12. I mean, that'd be crazy to be asking for 12 computers. I don't need 12. See? But when I needed another printer, I asked Him for 1. I asked Him at 7 o'clock in the morning. The printer came at 2 that afternoon. You know? By the way, on that one, after that one happened so quick, I did go to Him and I'd say, Lord, do you realize how long some of this other stuff's been on this list? I don't know why that one happened so quick. I must have really needed it bad. But anyway, that's the kind of practical stuff He's talking about. He says, you spend time with me, abide in me. Then you listen to what I tell you. If you start doing what I tell you, you think we're not going to send you what you need to get it done? Do you think God's is at least as smart as Texaco? Huh? God and Sons Incorporated. You know, the most fabulous organization that there is to work for. You know, you think they're at least as smart as Texaco? I think so. He's not going to send you somewhere to do something and then not give you what you need to do it. That's just crazy. Okay, where were I? Okay, abide in me. Okay, we did the Rhema thing. Now, John 15:11. Here's something else that's in you. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. You know, the Bible talks about joy. In America, when you say the word joy, most people think happiness. You know, they really do. They think happiness. But the Bible definition of joy, it talks about joy in connection with Jesus when he was going through the cross. Oh, no, I'll be watching this. When Jesus was suffering on the cross, it says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He endured the cross. Why? For the joy that was set before him. See, the reason Jesus could hang on that cross, I mean, it was agony. There's nothing happy about that situation. I mean, you know, you're stripped naked, the shame, you're hung there. That's got to be, you know, it's terribly painful from everything I've ever read about it. They've already whipped your back. It's bleeding. They've already put a crown of thorns on your head. That's bleeding. They stick a spear in your side. They give you vinegar to drink. And then besides that, they're mocking. And I mean, it's just the most horrible thing. But yet it says for the joy that was set before him, that's what caused him to be able to endure. You know what joy that was? Tammy and Pat and Angie and Aaron and Kelly. He saw if he would do that, if he could endure that, Kelly wouldn't have to go to hell. Hallelujah. Aaron, believe it or not, would not have to go to hell. And she hasn't been here in a while. I got to make up for lost time. Angie. That was the joy. Now, again, I'm bringing this down 1,000%. But let's go back to the Texaco analogy. Okay, let's say Texaco sends stuff that Tony asked for. He's got his equipment now. Well, there's still a lot of work to be done. I mean, it's not a lot of fun. You know, just day-to-day business. He's going to have to go and lease someplace to put in their stations. He's going to have to advertise. He's going to have to make deals. There's hard work involved. But see, what would make him endure that? Well, he wants to accomplish the mission that they sent him on. You know, in that sense, it would be job accomplishment. Well, really, that's what motivated Jesus. He wanted to do the will of the Father. That's why the Father sent him. Go get him, son. If you'll do this, they can be saved. They won't have to go to hell. They can be restored back to me, and I love them so much. That was the joy set before Jesus. And see, he says that same joy is in you if you abide in him and his words abide in you. It's not always fun. You know, like you ought to see this place about 3 or 4 o'clock every Thursday. God's man of faith and power for the hour. Running the vacuum cleaners. Sue and Shirley both. Sue and Shirley both going through here mopping floors, cleaning toilets. The righteousness of God cleaning toilets? Oh, yeah. Why? For the joy set before us. Somebody here tonight might really catch hold of the word. Somebody might get on fire for God. Somebody might start spending, actually, spending time with the Father. If they do that, their whole world is... What's that deal? I'm going to rock your world. The whole world is going to change, you know? Who knows but Kelly Hill... This is Kelly's first night. Who knows but Kelly Hill might be the next Catherine Kuhlman. If she really gets on fire for God. I mean... Thousands upon thousands upon thousands. See, I never know. I never know on any given Thursday night who Gabriel here might be the next Billy Graham. You know, and if he is, we get a part of his reward. Because we sowed into his ministry, see, before it got started. Hallelujah. See, the joy set before us. That's why we do it. And we want to do what Jesus said. It gets you through the hard places when you know you're doing what he told you. Hallelujah. Now, all of those things are in you, how? By the Spirit. See, he started off saying, hey, all of this is by the Holy Spirit. You know, it's all come. I mean, God the Father, I'm sorry, you guys, he's in heaven. He's in heaven. The Bible says so, from Genesis to maps. Okay? Where is Jesus in his glorified body? He's seated at the right hand of the Father. Okay? But yet, all through the Bible, it says Christ in you, your hope of glory, doesn't it? Well, now, they are in you, all right. He's not lying. But it's by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says we have access to the Father by one Spirit through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's Jesus that gets you into the presence. Excuse me. It's the Holy Spirit that gets you into the presence of Jesus. And it's Jesus that gets you into the presence of the Father. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus has baptized us with the very Spirit of the Father. Again, going back to Ezekiel 36, when this was first prophesied, he says, I'm going to put a new spirit in you. And then, God says, I'm going to put my Spirit in you. Now, we refer to him all the time as the Holy Spirit, and that's right. But it's really the Spirit of the Father himself. See, it's really, he says, it's my Spirit I'm going to put in you. My Spirit. Now watch. Jesus has baptized us with the very Spirit of the Father. Why? So that we can always be in communication with him. You remember that fellowship thing we've been talking about all the time? Fellowship. The elder son. The whole reason he was messed up. No fellowship. No communication with the Father. Didn't have a clue what the Father was thinking. Didn't have a clue about how he felt. He didn't spend any time with him. When the Holy Spirit baptized your spirit, he brought a prayer language with him so that your born-again human spirit could be in direct communication with the Father for the express purpose, here's the whole reason, of fellowship, the sharing of motives, intents, plans, purposes, and pursuits. God's smart enough to know that us people, normal human beings that get born again, we love Jesus and that's about all we know. We know we was going to hell, now we know we're going to heaven. But dear Lord, especially when I first got born again, I didn't have enough sense to make a decent prayer. I mean, I don't really know the Father. I don't know what he thinks about. I don't know what his mind is. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit comes when we know not how to pray as we ought. And he makes intercession for us according to the will of God. Now that's King James English for saying, you're too dumb to know what to pray for. I know you love Jesus. I know you got saved, but you're just too dumb to pray. I mean, you don't know the God's plan for your life. You might be praying to become a good secretary when God wants you to be a missionary. You might be praying, to have 5 kids and God wants you to have 14. Whoa. I'm just making sure you're paying attention. That's the whole reason. That's the whole reason why God gave us this Holy Spirit who brings his own language with him and will say, look, I don't even know what to ask for. I don't know what God wants with my life. Holy Spirit, help my spirit pray. And the Bible says he'll do that, and he'll start praying for you, just bypass the intellect and start communicating directly with the Father. And he'll start praying God's perfect will for your life. Now, that's called fellowship. He literally, well, don't take my word for it. Look at the Bible here. 1 Corinthians 14, verses 1 and 2. Follow after charity. And that's what this lesson is about, see. If you really want to know, 1 Corinthians 14 is the conclusion starting from 1 Corinthians 12. And in the course of that, he says, Paul's talking about the gifts of the Spirit. How many of y'all would like to have the gift of miracles operating in your life? Yeah. Kelly, would you like to come up to a blind man? In the name of Jesus, thou shalt see. And he really does. Wouldn't that be something? What about a little child, 5 years old, multiple sclerosis? Come up and the gifts of healing kick in. And you say, rise! Come out of there and you're healed in Jesus' name. And the kid really get out of the chair? We'd all like that, wouldn't we? Words of wisdom, words of knowledge, all the gifts. See, and Paul talks about that all through there. But then he says, let me show you a more excellent way. Let me show you a more excellent way. And what's the next thing? The love chapter. Yeah. The love chapter. See? And we get so overwhelmed with, I mean, that's the description of the God kind of love. I mean, nobody has any problem with this part. God's love, say this with me, say, I take
no account
of a suffered wrong.
Somebody really does me dirt?
Somebody really does me Intended to do me dirt.
Knew they were doing me dirt.
And I didn't even notice it.
And enjoyed it.
and then after all that, the God kind of love says, I didn't even know. What are you talking about? Takes no account. I don't keep any record of people doing me dirt. Now, nobody in here has ever had a problem operating in that, right? I mean, that's divine. That's supernatural. You're going to have to get that from God, or you're just flat never going to get it. That is not human love. Human love is I love you as long as you love me. Hell hath no fury like a woman scorned, you know. Amen. I love you, I love you. Don't you, you know. Hallelujah. I'll rip your eyes out and stuff them in your ears, you know. Whatever. Hallelujah. See, so he says, follow after this agape, this love of the Father, this supernatural love that's so far beyond human love. He says, follow after it and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Now, here it is. For he, now he, what's he talking about? Love? The gifts? Everything, same things we've been talking about. For. Now, does for mean he's through talking yet?
Nope.
Is that connected? For means he's still connecting thoughts here. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. No man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. What mysteries? All kinds of mysteries. Here's one of them. In the same way that it was a mystery to the elder brother, how the Father could love such an ungodly person, a hog feeder, who'd squandered his inheritance on harlots. How? It was a total mystery to the elder brother. How could the Father throw a party and rejoice over this? That's the kind of mystery that the Holy Spirit, by having you spend time with the Father, it's just exactly when you're spending time praying in other tongues, it's like I described earlier. Come in, sit around the table. Pull you up some Rice Krispie squares, you and the Father. Okay? Pour a cup of coffee and Father, Dad, let's talk. Mm-hmm. Just tell me, what's on your heart, Father? What's on your heart? Explain to me. Now, what are you thinking about today? What's important to you? Okay? That's exactly what's going on when you spend time praying in other tongues. The Holy Spirit connects you right directly to the heart of the Father. And God, who is a spirit, and your reborn spirit, talk. And you start understanding Him, and He already understands you. Okay? But His love, His motivations, everything in Him starts being transferred to you. And that's the way you get it. You don't get it any way else either. You've got to spend time with Him. Now, you can learn more about the Father by the Word. I mean, you can read that story for one thing, if you got any sense, and say, gee, God loves sinners. That doesn't mean you will. See, that's the difference. You can understand that God loves sinners. But, Sean, how's it going to ever come about that you love those old slimy dogs?
I used to be one. Sometimes I still am.
But I'm talking about the kind of love that Dave talks about, where when they sue you for your car, you say, no, you can't have it quite yet. Wait a minute, hold off the lawyer.
I don't want to talk about it.
And then you take your car and you get it tuned up,
mm-hmm.
and you wash it,
mm-hmm.
and you fill it up with gas, and you have it detailed, and then you drive it to their house and say, now, is it presentable or would you like new tires? That's the kind of love Jesus is talking about.
Ow.
How are you going to get that kind of love, Sean? There isn't any place... Oh, we got him now. I got him that time. I got him good. I got him good. See, that's the kind of love Jesus is talking about. You can read all about it in Luke chapter 6. Do good to those that despitefully use you. Pray for those, you know, that despise you. from those who would take away your goods, seek them not again. You know, give to those that... And the ones he's talking about are the ones that do you dirt. Listen, you can try from tonight until the day you die. Your human effort will never, ever produce that kind of love. You can't get it. Human beings do not have... We don't have it in us. We don't have it. That kind of love comes from the Father. And that only is by the Holy Spirit. Can you prove that, Brother Gary? I thought you'd never ask.
Just keep reading.
Hallelujah. Talking about that mystery again. So you're speaking those mysteries. Those are the kind of things God's talking to you about. In the same way that it was a mystery to the elder brother how the father could love such an ungodly person as the prodigal son, so it is with most Christians today. It's impossible to love with a love that is simply not in you. You just can't do it. You can read about it. You can admire it from afar. You might see somebody else walk in it, but you can't do it because it's not in you. Now, it is entirely possible for the same love that beats within the heart of the Father to be in you also, but only as you spend time with Him to obtain it. The number one way to spend time with Him is to spend time praying in the Holy Ghost. It is by that very process that the love that is already within the Father is transferred to you as well. And here's the verse, Romans 5:5. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love, and that's agape, the love of God, this kind of love we're talking about, is shed abroad, and that just means poured into our hearts. By who?
The Holy Ghost.
By reading the Bible.
Holy Ghost.
By going to church.
Holy Ghost.
By coming to Thursday night Bible study.
Holy Ghost.
By the Holy Ghost. That's why I say you get it that way or you don't get it. You just don't get it, that's all.
And even if you had it, you dry up.
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay, for benefit of the...
I mean, you walk through some real bad things and you quit being with the Holy Ghost.
You'll dry
up. That love you had for other people, you dry up.
That's right. Fellowship is real stale when you don't have it for a long time.
That's right.
It just becomes stale.
And you don't have that kind of love.
Hallelujah.
You're suffering, let him suffer.
Well, she's exactly right. See, you're either spending time with... how many of y'all know the world is real daily?
Amen.
Have you ever noticed life is so daily?
Yes.
All of these problems,
yes.
All of the disappointments. Jesus said, in the world you shall have flowery beds of ease. Is that what he said? Tribulation. You're going to have problems. As long as Satan is the god of this world, which the Bible says he is, you are going... Gabriel, I hate to tell you this. As long as you're in this world where Satan is god, you're going to have problems, son. You're going to have problems, see?
But we're of good cheer.
But we're of good cheer. Why? Jesus said, because I have overcome the world. Now, who's in you?
Jesus.
That same overcomer that overcome the world? He's in you. Right? So that makes you an overcomer. But you only do it, again, as you spend fellowship and time with Him. The flesh hates praying in tongues. Do you understand me? You know why? The flesh is not saved. That's the part of you that cannot be salvaged. It has to die. That's another lesson, really. That's called mortification of the flesh. It's unsalvageable. It's not renewable. There's nothing in it of value. It cannot be redeemed. It has to die. That's one of the reasons in Romans 8 it says, if Christ be in you, the body is dead. Romans 8:10. The body is dead. Talking about the flesh, the old man, because of sin. But the spirit in you, that reborn part, if Christ, how many of you have Christ in you? You qualify. The spirit in you is life. Not alive, but like Dave says, life. Zoe. The God kind of life because of why? Righteousness, it says. But see, that's the Holy Ghost is trying to put to death in us all that part of us that wants to get even, that takes account of a suffered wrong, that I love you as long as you love me, but you do me dirt, oh, you'll rue the day you did me dirt, boy. I want to get even. That part of you is not saved. It won't be saved next week. It needs to die. It needs to be put to death so that the life of Christ and the love of God can be manifest. Hallelujah. Aaron says, no, I don't want it to die. Oh. But you see when I said that, the number one way to spend time with the Father is to spend time praying in the Holy Ghost. Reading the Bible helps. But I don't think you really ever get the love of the Father till you spend time with the Holy Spirit. And that verse is why. Romans 5:5 again. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad, poured into our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. Now here's your action part. See, good intentions never produce anything. Always intending to pray, but never actually praying, accomplishes nothing at all. I heard a good definition of insanity the other day. Is when you continue doing the same thing, but expect different results. Now that's insane. That's crazy. Let's see now. In my life right now, if I'm going to be real honest, you know, well, I probably have a thimbleful of God's love in me. But now I'm going to keep intending to pray and not pray, but I expect God's love to increase in me anyway. So I'm just going to continue. I'll pray next week sometime. That's going to be my approach. I know I didn't pray this week. I know I didn't pray this week that way, and I know I didn't pray that week with that plan, and I didn't pray the week before that with that plan, but I'm going to continue doing the same thing, and you know, but I expect next week things will be different. That's insane. Dave puts it this way. If we're going to go somewhere that we've never been, doesn't it stand to reason we're going to have to do some things we've never done? Does that make sense to you? Huh? You know? If you're ever going to walk in this kind of love, you're going to have to spend time with that Holy Spirit. You're going to have to do it. And if your plan to date, whatever it is that you are planning on praying, if that's not been working, change it. Go back to that lesson, Redeeming the Time. Blow the dust off of that tape and listen to it again. Buy you some kind of a little planner. You can get them for like $2 or $3, you know. You don't have to have a real fancy one. And plan next. I can tell you right now when I will be praying next Wednesday. I have a plan. I know what I'm going to be praying. Do you, Tammy? Wednesday, next week. When are you going to be praying, honey?
I don't know.
See? Well, when did you pray yesterday? Yesterday was Wednesday.
Daddy.
I love. I'll show you the love of God now. Gotta go. Okay. You know why I can pick on Tammy like that? I'll tell you what I really think about Tammy. See, last week they had to take something they had to do that they really honestly couldn't be here. The next day I called Betty, her mother, and I said, I gotta make sure of something. She said, what? Did the rapture come? And she said, well, why do you ask that? I said, Tammy wasn't here last night. Tammy's here when I'm not. You know, when we were on vacation, Tammy was here. You know, Thursday night. I gotta find out. She said, no, she's okay. You didn't miss the rapture. It's all right. But the point being, if it ain't been working, and you continue with that same plan, it's nothing's going to change.
Well, I just tell
her,
oh my God, I'm insane.
Well, all of us are different ways. Okay. If you're ever going to walk in more love toward God and your fellow man than you are right now, you're going to have to change your priorities. If you continue to stay completely occupied with, and we're all busy, you guys. You continue, you know, it's like the elder brother. You continue to be occupied with busy work, you'll be no different from the elder brother who continuously worked in his father's fields. But Well, now I watch Aaron. I'm gonna pick on Aaron now. I watch Aaron. That is one busy human being. Especially when she was working at Dillard's. I mean, she worked a full-time job during the day, drove straight from there to Dillard's. I don't know if she even got anything to eat. Got over to Dillard's and put in 5-6 hours over there. And then still trying to have some kind of a social life and go to a movie and have a date once in a while. And I never saw anyone so busy. Just, you know, busy all the time. And to be honest, she'd have that look in her eye like, I'm on this treadmill, Daddy, and I don't know why. I'm trying to have a life here. I'm trying to have a life here, you know. But I really, if you really come right down to it, she kind of resented it. You know, God, Does life have to be like this? I mean, just this eternal... I love you. When I pray for her, I see a hamster on the wheel, man. Hamster on the wheel. Here we go. Just running and running and running, you know. And there's never... The bad thing about a wheel... The bad thing about a wheel...
Never stop.
There's no end to it. The only way off the wheel, you have to get off. I'm sorry. He done quit preaching and gone to meddling there. Yeah, you have to get off yourself. Yes, ma'am. Hallelujah. Yeah, but she lives here. I got to live with her. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Busy work and good intentions will never cause the change in your heart that you desire. Begin actually scheduling time to spend meditating the Word of God and praying in the Holy Spirit. This is the more excellent way that Paul spoke of. Now here's that verse I mentioned earlier, Galatians 5:6. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. That was the big religious topic of the day. And he's just talking about religious rules. All of your do's and all of your don'ts is never going to produce the love of God in you. You can keep every rule there is and be a religious bigot, just like the elder brother and just like the Pharisees who didn't like Jesus hanging around sinners. And they kept all the rules, and the love of God was certainly not in them. See? So none of that really matters, he's saying. But here's what does matter. But faith, which worketh by love. And that word is agape, the love of the Father. That God kind of love that puts no qualifications. It just loves you because it loves you. That's all. Even with all your warts, freckles, and everything about you, you know, all of your misgivings, all of your shortcomings, it still loves you. So come into the house and spend time with your Father. Is that good preaching or what? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, let me just... I'm going to go ahead and leave this on the tape, because if you guys are having a problem with this, other people will get these tapes are too. And they hear me all the time keep saying, plan some time to pray. Plan some time to pray. I mean, I imagine by now people are going, how many ways does this guy know how to teach? Plan some time to pray. Does anyone want to volunteer some of your feelings or some what happens to you when you try that? Has anyone tried it? Literally trying to pray. I mean, plan when you're going to pray. What about you, Tony?
I plan that, but I usually don't stick with my plan, but I do end up doing it during the day, course of the day.
Okay. Okay.
It's my schedule. I have a certain schedule.
Okay.
I do.
Anybody else tried it? What about you, Sean?
I usually do about 11 o'clock every morning.
Okay.
About 12 until I got to go back to work.
Yeah.
You know, and it's tough.
Yeah. So have you? How long have you been trying to do that?
About a couple of weeks.
Okay.
Sometimes I do. Sometimes something comes up.
And yeah. Yeah. So, anyone else want to volunteer? Yeah.
Well, when I set out and plan to do this, everything comes up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, every time that I have sat down and made up a plan, just everything.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody will come over, the baby's sick, mm-hmm. crying, I got a headache.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just everything. So every single time there's been stuff that's just like...
You think that's coincidence?
Oh, no.
That's the enemy trying to stop. See, there's two things, like Dave says, that the devil will not tolerate without opposition. One of them is soul winning.
He knows I'll tear this one.
That's right. That's right. I watched you before. I know. And he does too. But the one thing he won't allow is real honest-to-God soul winning. Somebody that really gets people saved. He'll oppose you.
That's why I oppose him.
And the other thing is honest-to-God prayer. Real prayer. Even me. And I say even me because I've been at this longer than you. We've been living out here for 2 years, you know. It's to the point, I have to leave the house, you guys. I'm just giving you suggestions. If I don't, I mean, my prayer time is 5 to 10 in the morning. Okay, now, I'm not expecting you guys to pray that long. You're not in full-time ministry, okay? But you need to pray some. An hour, whatever, something. I still think that a person should set a goal of 2.4 hours a day, whether they do it all at one time or not. That's a tithe of your time. But anyway, I can't give you chapter and verse. I can't give you chapter and verse for that, but that's just my opinion after 16 years, okay? And there's no legalism here. I mean, that's just my opinion. But for most folks, I'll be quite honest with you, 30 minutes a day would be a step up. Now, I'm talking about quality time. Most of you are thinking, well, yeah, I pray in my car. No, no, we're talking about coming in from the fields. Give up some of your time. Come sit around the table with the Father. I pray when I drive. I pray all the time. I pray in the grocery lines at the supermarket. I pray all the time. If I'm not talking in English, I'm praying. If I'm awake, under my breath, I'm praying, you know. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about let's go in and spend quality time with the Father. See, quality time. And for me, I'm just saying, you know, the prayers, just suggestions. The prayer center is always open, 24 hours a day for prayer. They will not page you to the phone down there. You can turn your pager off. People with pagers and cellular phones, they got this miraculous thing on it, an on-off switch. I mean, if it's that important, they will call you back. You know? 99 times out of 100, it's not. I'm just saying, you may have to make some adjustments because to continue doing the same thing you're doing now and expect things to change, that is insane. That's not rational. That's not logical thinking. To continue doing the same thing you're doing now and expect things to get better, that's crazy. They're not going to change either. You want proof of that? The Bible says, God is not mocked. A man or woman reaps what he sows. If you sow to the Spirit, you reap of the Spirit everlasting life. You sow to the flesh, guess what you reap? Death. Life can become, even for Spirit-filled Christians, a living death. Can I get a witness? Yeah. Sue and I lived through that for 5 years. No fellowship with the Spirit whatsoever. We quit everything. Basically, go to work, come home, eat supper, watch TV, go to bed. If that's your life, you're dead while you're alive. You're dead while you're alive. That is a living death. Or getting on the treadmill to the point so you never have to think. I always have to have amusement. I always have to have my mind on something because I don't want to think about God, you know. That also is a living death. I've been there too. I have been there. You got to change something. Get off the wheel. Plan some, do something radical. I go to that little ugly building I was telling y'all about. Tammy's seen it. Is it ugly?
Ugly.
She's the only one that's seen it. Ugly, isn't it?
Ugly.
Dirty in there.
Dirty, ugly.
Mud dauber nests on the walls. Bird doo-doo up in the ceilings. Leaks. Leaks at every scene. God shows up over there and talks to me. He likes that place. You know why? Because it's quality time where I can spend time with Him. There's no phones there. You know, if worse comes to worse, I can lock the gate. Nobody can get in. You know? It's quality time. Yeah. This one day I thought I was going to have to. I had 3 visitors in one day. I couldn't believe it, you know. But most days there's nobody there, you know. But it's that's my quality time. You're going to have a hard time getting a hold of me. That time's reserved for my Father. See, because I don't like the way I am. I'm not walking enough of that love. You can still say things that hurt me right now. Not as much as used to. I got more rhino hide than I used to. You know, rhino hide. But, you know, especially the ones close to me, I can still be hurt. I want to walk in more of the Father's love than I'm walking right now. I'm only going to be able to do that if I spend time with Him. Hallelujah. So as much as I love you, try and get a hold of me between 5 and 10. You're going to have a real hard time. Answering machine's on. I'll call you later. It's not that I don't care. But how am I going to help you if I don't have His love in me for you? Just that simple. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. Father, I thank You in Jesus' name that Your Word has gone forth with power and in truth, Lord. I seal this message right now by the power of Your Spirit into the hearts of every person here. Satan, I bind you up. You will not steal these words from these people. In the name of Jesus, I say that every person here represents good soil, that the imperishable seed will penetrate all stones and consume all thorns and will put down roots, and fruit will grow from this seed 30, 60, and 100-fold. In the name of Jesus, I give You praise, Father. Amen.